Most are composed of direct quotes, or close paraphrases, from the trove of letters, papers, and memoirs that these physicists left behind. When occasional connective tissue, for example, "nice to see you," or "I agree," was necessary, I tried to keep it both innocuous and also sensitive to the character, beliefs, and history of the people involved. Here is a sample from the text from a conversation that took place in the summer of 1923 on a streetcar in Copenhagen, between two of the founders of quantum theory, Albert Einstein and Niels Bohr, and its first great teacher, Arnold Sommerfeld. "It's good to see you doing so well," says Einstein. Bohr shakes his head, smiling. "My life, from the scientific point of view, passes off in periods of overhappiness and despair, as I know that both of you understand, of feeling vigorous and overworked, of starting papers and not getting them published." His face is earnest. "Because all the time I am gradually changing my views about this terrible riddle which the quantum theory is." "I know." Einstein's eyes almost close. He is nodding. "That is a wall before which I am stopped. The difficulties are terrible." His eyes open. "The theory of relativity was only a sort of respite which I gave myself during my struggles with the quanta." We know that the conversation, of which this interchange represents a tiny piece, happened, because Bohr mentioned it in an interview late in his life with his son and one of his closest colleagues. The content of the conversation is easy to gather from a look at what the three men were working on and writing friends about around the same time. Here, Bohr, in the interview, describes that day in 1923. "Sommerfeld was not impractical, not quite impractical. But Einstein was not more practical than I, and when he came to Copenhagen, I naturally fetched him from the railway station. We took the streetcar from the station and talked so animatedly about things that we went much too far past our destination. So we got off and went back. Thereafter, we again went too far. I can't remember how many stops, but we rode back and forth in the streetcar because Einstein was really interested at that time. We don't know whether his interest was more or less skeptical, but in any case, we went back and forth many times in the streetcar, and what people thought of us, that is something else." Here is the first quote on which this particular short section of the conversation is based. It comes from a letter Bohr wrote to a British colleague in August of 1918. "I know that you understand how my life, from the scientific point of view, passes off in periods of overhappiness and despair, of feeling vigorous and overworked, of starting papers and not getting them published, because all the time I am gradually changing my views about this terrible riddle which the quantum theory is." How can a passage written 5 years earlier be relevant? Some things had changed for Bohr in the intervening years, but what he touches on in the letter had remained the same. The excitement, dejection, and overwork, during this whole period he was building his Institute of Physics in Copenhagen, the long, arduous papers only partially published, and, most of all, his struggle to understand the quantum theory, which, until Heisenberg's breakthrough in 1925, stood on shifting sand. Here is the second quote, from a journey by train taken a year before. "The astronomer of the Paris Observatory rode with Einstein from Belgium to Paris and asked him about the quantum problem." "That is a wall before which one is stopped," Einstein replied. "The difficulties are terrible. For me, the theory of relativity was only a sort of respite which I gave myself during their examination." His opinions on the subject were the same at the time of our scene in the summer of 1923. By the following summer, an unexpected letter from India would help him chip a crack in this quantum wall. As for the filler, Bohr was the kind of person whose happiness was infectious. He would indeed have been looking well when he picked up Einstein to show him his newly completed institute, no matter how overworked and secretly despairing he might actually be. And Sommerfeld, always intellectually engaged with Bohr during those early years of the quantum theory, would have known intimately what Bohr meant by this terrible riddle. I believe the risks of telling the story in this way are outweighed by the reward.